Welcome to the big 5-0, episode 50 of the Pirate Cha-ching. Monk Podcast. Coming to you live from high above the Mellow Mushroom in downtown metropolitan Franklin, Tennessee. I'm your host, Nate Larkin, here with our fearless engineer, Mondo. And joining us from far across the continent, where today he is on location.
On location.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Our co-host, the Admiral, Aaron Porter. Can you believe it? Episode 50 already.
Yeah, man.
Well, and it's really like I'm celebrating right now.
We've come a long way.
This is so nice to not be, you know, I'm out of town, and to have all this set up and to be in bed laying here in my underwear doing the podcast.
You know, well, that is, I got to tell you, a very disturbing thing. Yeah. I didn't know whether to let our listeners know what you have subjected Mondo and me to. Because we're watching you here on Skype. Yes, reclining in a bed. Thank you for having the decency to put on a shirt.
Yeah, you seem bothered by that earlier this morning. I don't
know. The microphone in the foreground, somewhat disturbing. I'm going to do my best to ignore it. Yeah. I may actually just shut off the picture.
Yeah, you might need to do that.
Yeah.
No video today.
Yeah. But I got out of bed this morning.
Yeah, so did I.
I made the long drive in.
I sure did. I drove 25 minutes.
Yeah.
In traffic.
Well, I'll tell you what. In 2 hours, I'll drive somewhere, too. And then we'll be even.
Well, it has been, I apologize to our subscribers, with the travel schedules that we have had. Yeah. It's been difficult to maintain a steady rhythm of getting the podcast up on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
And I do know that people look forward for that new podcast. I know it partly because we've been getting some letters from people.
Yes.
Let me just see here.
Actually, letters and some Facebook postings.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, it seems like that the subscribers love the mini-meeting format. We're going to have to do a mini-meeting.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mini-meeting.
Here's a typical letter. Just listened to Podcast 49. Thought it was great, especially the mini-meeting. You may be able to take the mini-meeting and use it to stir hearts into discussions for other guys' meetings. Anyway, I enjoyed it. Also, the podcast topic reminded me of a Samson brother that I've had the honor to get to know just recently over the Samson website and through email. He seems to be a wonderful man. He's told me about his time as he works through his SSA. This guy's got a same-sex attraction deal to work through.
Okay.
I work with a Christian tour for women, and I love what I do and the people I work with, but I can't tell you how refreshing it was this last year to get on the plane knowing that I'd have a 4 to 5 hour flight, or maybe even more with layovers, when I'd be able to have time to listen to the Samson Society podcast.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm laughing at myself while I type this, but I was able to recover my testosterone levels during that time.
which I think the important thing to note is if you are using this podcast as hormone supplement therapy, you will need to give us $100 a month, which is a good price.
Oh, hey,
our
good friend Darren Meir from out there in Oregon. Gosh, what's the name? Medford, Oregon, I believe is where Darren is. God bless you guys. The mini meeting segment is fantastic. Keep it up. I'm also really looking forward to the 48 Hours of Frankness tour coming up in Eugene, Oregon in May. We'll talk more about that at the end of the podcast.
Yep.
So, another guy writes, I listen to the podcast faithfully. All of them are good. Number 49 is truly amazing. I'm Denny. I wrote to you a long time ago, and you read my letter on episode 23. Thanks, by the way.
Cool.
Wow, so Thaddeus was a good return guest.
Oh, yeah. This guy writes, it was so freeing to hear the same-sex attraction monster being talked about more freely all the time. Every time I'm assured that I'm not alone, a little more power is taken out of my addiction and its struggle. It was gratifying to hear that I'm actually doing some of the right things, as espoused by Thaddeus without ever having been counseled to do so. Mainly, deliberately cultivating some healthy male friendships and putting many spokes into my recovery wheel instead of relying on just one resource to fill all the holes. I did appreciate the mini meeting between the three of you on the air.
Cool.
The topic of insecurity was certainly real for me. The different perspectives you three offered were so helpful. Look forward to every podcast. Thank you sincerely for your service in the ministry to the Samson Society. Maybe. All right, so the verdict is in, guys.
Yes, it is.
The mini meeting.
It's a hit.
It's a hit. We ought to make it, I think, a standard part of the podcast. So,
okay.
Why don't we close out this section?
Okay.
And we'll be right back on the Pirate Monk Podcast.
Yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's like money. We curse, we plunder, we rifle, and we drink up behind his yo-ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot, drink up behind his yo-ho. Yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's like money.
And we're back. Time now for the newest segment here on the Pirate Monk Podcast, the mini meeting.
The mini meeting.
Mini meeting.
The second mini meeting.
Echoing is my job, Mondo. That's my only skill.
Oh, only sorry. Skill.
Today's topic is self pity.
So to recap, this we're going to do. We're going to do the mini meeting.
Yep.
For the benefit of that guy out there who's not yet been able to attend a meeting, maybe he hasn't quite gotten his rolling, mm-hmm. or maybe he's got a meeting going, but he could use another one. You can always use another meeting.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to share. Obviously, there is not the confidentiality in this meeting that exists in a Samson meeting. So,
correct.
So we might not go all the way to the edge in divulging personal details.
Correct.
That we will when we're in our local meeting, but we can still...
We can still go there.
We can still bring it, right?
Yeah, we still bring it, absolutely.
Okay, all right.
So does that mean I should tell you guys right now I'm recording the podcast naked, or I should not? I don't. Where's the edge, guys?
Yeah, too late.
Oh, what?
Too late.
All right.
Sorry, I'm feeling uncomfortable now. All right. We have now reached the sharing portion of our podcast. In sharing, we speak honestly out of our own experience. We tell the truth about ourselves, knowing that our brothers will listen to us in love and will hold whatever we say in the strictest confidence. We try to keep our comments brief, taking care to leave plenty of time for others. We address our statements to the group as a whole, rather than directing them towards any one person. As a rule, we refrain from giving advice to others or instructing them during the meeting, believing that such conversations are best reserved for private moments between friends. The suggested topic today is... What was it again?
Fatigue.
Fatigue. You may speak about any... we're not confined to that subject, but you may speak about any issue that's currently commanding your attention. The floor is now open for anyone who wishes to speak.
All right. Well, my name is Mondo.
Hey, Mondo.
Hey, Mondo.
Fatigue. The first thing that popped into my head was my crazy work schedule. And how it has created this fatigue that fatigue has caused me to pay attention to the time that I'm spending with family and have not been spending with family. How the fatigue has can sometimes tend to minimize my focus at home,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, I drain everything at work and I get home and I'm just a walking shell of flesh and with really very little to offer.
Yeah.
Which has been brought to my attention, Mondo, you need to go on a vacation. You need to unplug. You need to just go somewhere and you know, re-energize, recharge. So it's a pickle. It's a fatigue that I don't mind getting because it's work oriented. It's what I love to do. I will say that workaholic is a term that I'm familiar with. So it's a fatigue that's generated by things that I enjoy.
my work and people that I enjoy. However, it can cause some distraction in other areas of my life, i.e. family. So fatigue is something I'm very familiar with right now, and that I'm dealing with even at this moment right now. There's not a mistake that there's two large venti Starbucks cups on my desk right now.
Yeah.
just trying to keep it together. So So fatigue is, that's something that I really have to keep in check, and make sure that I'm good for those who are very important in my life, and that I can be present. So my name is Mondo.
Thanks, Mondo.
Thanks, Mondo. My name is Aaron.
Hey, Aaron.
I'm feeling a lot of fatigue lately, and fatigue is a dangerous thing for me because having real life relationships is very tiring. So when I feel worn out and fatigued, that is the time I am most likely to not be present at home, and it's the most vulnerable time for me to act out in some false intimacy way, whether that's looking at pornography or fantasy or something like that. So that's the first danger that I feel very strongly. And it's also dangerous because when I'm tired, I don't really want to talk to people. I'm usually fatigued because in my job, there's a lot of people. So the last thing I want to do is actually talk to a Silas or anybody else about it. So those two things are dangerous, bad combinations. Those are the times when I'm really glad for computers with XXX Church on it. Because if I'm tired, I just don't care. I don't care about holiness. I don't care about consequences. I'm just tired and want to feel better. And that's also when I feel the most self-pity. There, I'll go. That's a third one, too, that I start. I think self-pity is just a way for me to justify whatever I want to end up doing. It's just a premeditated justification. So I set the playing field. So I have to be pretty mindful of that. I'm definitely mindful of that right now because I am tired, and I do feel a lot of those things, desire to isolate, desire to act out, and a lot of self-pity. Those are real-time feelings right now for me. So that's it. I'm Aaron.
Thanks, Aaron. Well, I'm Nate.
Hey, Nate.
Yeah, I too am well acquainted with fatigue. I have learned that if I'm not medicating with lust, I can medicate with work or distract myself with work. And I can easily imagine that unlike God, I'm capable and really should maintain a 7-day schedule. Not that God needed to rest on the seventh day or even rest at the end of each day in creation. I don't know, maybe he did. I think he was, that the emphasis that the Bible puts on God resting during creation and on the day of rest that he instituted for us in the Ten Commandments speaks to a basic need that we have. This need to stop working and rest and rejuvenate. For me too, fatigue is a dangerous place to be. When I'm tired, I'm more prone to act out. I am prone to self-pity. The edges get fuzzy. Fatigue is also chronic fatigue for me, and I understand that. Sometimes chronic fatigue is physiological. You've got some kind of disease in your body, and it's not a spiritual thing, and it doesn't mean that you have your priorities wrong. It means that you're sick. And I certainly don't want to judge anybody who battles fatigue on a chronic basis. But for me, because I'm in reasonably good health, chronic fatigue is usually a sign that either I'm working too hard, that I'm medicating with work. Work has its wrong priority, and I'm just not exercising self-care. I'm staying up too late. I'm getting up too early. I'm not walking, which is what I do to try to stay in condition. It's amazing. If I stop walking in the morning or don't go to the gym, don't do something to get that heart rate up for 20 minutes a day, I get tired. What it can also mean, however, is that I've slipped back into the pattern of living two lives. I'm animating a false self out there for the sake of the audience. And it's a whole lot more exhausting to live two lives simultaneously than it is to live one. To be both the pirate and the monk, and to have neither one aware of or acknowledge the existence of the other, and to always try to keep one concealed, that is exhausting work. It just wears me out mentally and emotionally. And it has dire spiritual consequences. When I can take the best of both and acknowledge the worst of both and be the same person wherever I am, just a pirate monk here, and not trying to hide, that's a much less taxing. It frees up an awful lot of mental energy for me. I can be a whole lot more creative and productive. But that requires being fully present and living an integrated life openly with other people. So, when I get into a chronic state of fatigue, it's a signal to me that either I need to take a break, a serious break, and rest. It was very, very helpful for me this last weekend when I was in Texas. I went down to speak at a retreat, at a beautiful retreat center, and of course I took a laptop chock full of unfinished work, along with the resolution that when I wasn't leading the retreat, I would be working. I don't know why, I don't know whether it was the tenor of the place, but for some reason I just couldn't go there. And I went four days without working. I can't remember the last time I've gone 4 days without working.
Yeah.
But it was so restful. And the only work I did was to stand up on my hind legs and tell the truth for 45 minutes a day. My yoke is easy, Jesus said. My burden is light. And when it gets too heavy, it's a sign to me that I'm doing more than he requires. I'm Nate.
Thanks, Nate.
Thanks, Nate.
And we'll be right back on the Pirate Monk Podcast.
Whoa! A pirate's life is a wonderful life, a roving over the sea. Give me a career as a buccaneer, it's the life of a pirate for me. Oh, the life of a pirate for me.
And we're back on the Pirate Monk Podcast.
We're back.
We're here with an extraordinary guest. Mm. I wish that this were a video podcast so that everybody could get the full effect of Father, the Reverend Thomas McKenzie.
Whichever.
Yeah, pastor of Church of the Redeemer in Nashville, Tennessee. A longtime brother who I miss seeing on a weekly basis ever since he stopped making the long drive down to Franklin for the meeting.
Now, is this our first guest with a caller?
I believe so.
We had our ex-convict friends on, but that's not what I meant by a caller.
Okay, yeah. Thomas, how many years ago was it that you first started showing up down here at these Samson meetings? You remember?
That's a really good question, Nate. Five?
Five?
I'm not sure.
This guy's got nerve. I remember you showing up with the collar for the cover shot for New Man magazine.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes. And the very best two pages of your book were written by me.
As a matter of fact, they were. Yes.
You know, someone edited them.
Were they ruined in editing?
Well, you know, it wasn't in my rider to my contract to do otherwise. So
okay,
it's okay. I'm not bitter. I bring it up 5 years later on a podcast, but I'm not bitter about it or anything.
All right.
Yeah.
So Thomas, yes. Let me see. Let's give our folks a little bit of picture of who you are. You're a married man, couple of beautiful daughters.
Yes. Thank you for noticing.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm the pastor of this church. I'm an Anglican, which you've never heard of. I mean, you have, Nate.
Of course, I have. Yeah.
That's it.
Anglican, that's a branch of the Mormon church, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's kind of a Mormon-Muslim kind of interplay kind of thing.
No, actually...
We both get multiple wives. It's awesome. Actually, I've never figured that one out. I'm not sure why anyone would want that. Honestly,
yeah, really.
Because that's just more people to, you know, confess to.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah. Now, and Church of the Redeemer, by the way, is... rocking and rolling up there.
You know it, buddy.
Unfreaking believable. Every time I turn around, somebody else is going to Church of the Redeemer.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. All your friends. In fact, that's why I'm here on the podcast today, is talk to you about transferring up there. I think it's important for you to...
Okay. You know, I get it. So you don't make this drive, but I should make that drive.
Well, you know. Yes, actually. Think of us as the center of gravity. Like, we're the sun, and you're like Mercury or whatever.
Okay. All right. Terrific.
Come our direction.
Now,
I've got nothing. I just want to say I've got nothing.
Yeah.
I've got nothing. I don't ever have nothing, but I've got nothing.
Now,
he's picking on the Anglicans. Where do I go from there?
Seriously.
The Mormons? Out? Polygamy? When you're picking on polygamy... there's nowhere to go. I just wanted to say.
Picking on polygamy.
You're running it down. I mean, there are some of us that hold in high regard the fact that Scripture doesn't actually prohibit it unless you're an elder.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's really good. That's really good stuff.
Holy smokes. That's frightening.
See, I just gained us. I usually lose us demographics.
Yeah.
I just got us all of Utah.
Okay.
Wow. Actually, you just now lost all of Utah, but only gained the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
There you go.
Yeah. So the
well, we take what we can get.
Yeah. Well.
Now the Anglican Church, or at least
yes.
Now this is the Rwandan. No.
Yeah, we're the awesome branch.
Yeah. One of the cool things. Now, there's a couple cool things about your church.
Okay.
I like the fact that you got a worship team, but you put them in the back of the church where nobody can see them.
Well, that's we can't do that.
What do you mean?
Well, we have them in the front, but they're kind of off on the side. They have a little barrier.
Oh, do they? Okay. Mm-hmm.
They're off on the side.
Okay, but they're not at center stage.
Oh yeah, no, they're definitely not at center stage, and we don't use the same people all the time. We don't have like a band.
Okay.
You know, we rotate people who go to the church through the.
It's kind of accepted wisdom in the evangelical church that what you need, I mean, to have a rockin' church is you need a good band and a good stand-up guy.
Right.
Right?
And screens, lots of screens. We have a no-screen policy.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. I have no screens.
Now, the other remarkable, revolutionary thing you have is the homily, which is... it's the sermon, but it's not the 45-minute sermon that I grew up with. Yours is tight. You usually deliver it in about 10, 12, 15 minutes, don't you?
It's
now, is that the most. Sermon that's made of corn? Is that what?
Yeah, homily. Yeah, that's
what you call corn. Homilies? We call maize, actually.
okay.
It's more made of maize.
Okay.
In our tradition. Well, the thing about when I preach is that it's in the middle of the service. It's not the show.
Right.
You know, it's like. It's on the way to the show. The show is really the Holy Communion, but the if there's a show,
right?
And because that's the climactic moment, is
right?
Is communion, and so it's word and sacrament. It's kind of both things. It's not rock band guy talk,
right?
That would drive me nuts. I would never go to that church.
Uh-huh.
I just lost you all your rest of your demographic. Like I wouldn't go to that church. I'm not interested that much in what someone has to say.
Ah.
You know what I mean?
So. Well, anyway...
except for me, of course. I'm really interested in what I have to say, which is why I'm your special guest.
Now, in addition to being a pastor...
Yes.
And a friend to men in Nashville...
Mm. And Franklin. They come to see me.
Oh, do
yeah.
That's but why they're not coming to me anymore.
The good ones come to see me. That's yeah. what happens. Actually, yeah, the really bad ones. The good ones stay here.
They can't help it, though. It's that gravitational pull.
It's the gravitational
yeah.
pull.
Yeah.
It's the gravitational. Nashville's just that big.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful. That's the sound of Nashville sucking you up.
Yes. Now, in addition to being a pastor mm-hmm. And exerting gravitational forces upon surrounding communities.
Yes, of course.
You are a video blogger extraordinaire.
I am. I don't know about extraordinaire, but yes. I do this. I review films.
Yeah.
Online. That's
yeah,
hobby.
Yeah. So
it's my hobby.
Wait. So the guy who is not interested in what
the show.
Anyone has to say
That's
is
right.
the video blogger.
That's right, buddy.
Okay.
You see?
I'm forming my... Well, I guess we call it a judgment.
Right,
so go
sure,
on.
Sure.
Well, I remember...
Just throw narcissism in there and everything will be fine.
Fair. I remember in the early days of Samson, yes. I would hear guys talking about... They would, it was like you were appointed or self-appointed to go see the movie before anybody else. And then you would deliver the one-minute movie review.
Yes.
How did that start?
Well, what happened was my day off is Friday, and that's when films come out. And I really like movies. I've always liked movies. I'm a big fan of storytelling, is what it is.
Yes.
I like storytelling. I like stories. And I think that in our culture, film is one of the very, very best places you're going to have storytelling, and also one of the worst, obviously. But so on Friday, I would go to see whatever's coming out. And my wife wasn't as interested in film as I was. And she's the kind of person who would kind of doesn't necessarily like it. And so I would go by myself at, like, noon
mm-hmm.
when it came out. And so people would ask me, so how was it? How was the whatever
right.
movie you saw this week? And so what I started doing was there was this free service where I could record a podcast off my phone. And I started leaving basically answering machine messages on this podcast saying, hey, this is the way – and I called it the one-minute review. And it was just because I was being silly. It was like, it's the one-minute review, you know, and I would say – so, this week I saw blah, 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 and here's what happened. And it would go more than 1 minute, usually a couple minutes. And people would subscribe to it, just the audio version, just my friends. And then I have a friend who has a website called The Rabbit Room, rabbitroom.com.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Andrew Peterson. He's a musician. And Andrew said, I'd love to put the one-minute review on The Rabbit Room. And I've been doing it at that point for 3 or 4 years,
yeah,
just
yeah.
audio.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, sure, that'd be great. He goes, but I'd like you to do it video. And I was like, wow, well, I don't know. Because I'd made some video stuff for the church, you know, just or for fun. Just
mm-hmm.
what? Anyway, so the first one I did was District 9. And the second film I reviewed video for this Christian literary artsy website was Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, really?
And, yes, let's just say it sparked an enormous amount of comments on the Christian website, given that it was my favorite film of the year that
uh-huh.
year, so it was. I got a taste in like all the gamut of Christian response to film.
Mm.
You know, it went from I went from having my friends basically listen to this to having all these people who I don't know from all different Christian backgrounds,
right?
And some of them were very like. Were able to roll, and some of them were not so able to roll with this idea. Yes, who chimed in? So yes, but I almost quit at that moment. I was just so it got a little ugly, and I almost quit. But I was encouraged not to quit, and so I've continued to do it. And so now I do it at least one review a week.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And how do our listeners find your reviews?
You could go to it's called 1 Minute Review. It's 1MinuteReview.com. Or you could go to the iTunes store and search 1 Minute Review, and you'll get there's a video podcast and an audio podcast. Or you can always see us at rabbitroom.com
yeah.
or thomasmckenzie.com.
Well, I've seen several of these reviews, and I just love the way you do it. I mean, it's
yeah.
It's entertaining. I love your offhand but very direct way of summarizing a film.
Right.
And you definitely have an opinion about it.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, if you only have a couple minutes, you better have an opinion, because
yeah.
it'd be pretty boring if we just sat there and went, I don't know, there are good things. Here's some, I don't know, man.
Let me see. You count swear words, obviously.
I definitely don't count swear words. That's one of the things. In fact, people will comment and be like, well, I noticed that there was the use of, you know, the F word three times in this. And I'm like, ugh, really? Like, for me, it's just, it's so not interesting to talk about, like, how many swear words or where they were or when an occult reference happened or whatever. I mean, Focus on the Family does that, or whoever. You know, right. there are websites where you can go and you can find out at minute 17 that there's this bad thing happens,
right.
You know? But that's not really what I'm interested in.
Okay.
The thing I'm interested in is this a story well told? Is it a well told story? Did I have fun?
Mm-hmm.
And is it worth seeing? Is it worth other people seeing?
And in your own head, well, go ahead.
Oh no, I don't mind being ignored over here. No, I'm enjoying fine. The conversation. Go on.
Sure, no.
Go ahead. I'm wondering, in your own head, is your audience the world at large? Culture at large, or are you consciously addressing a Christian audience in your reviews?
That's a really good question. I guess I'm not even really thinking about that. I guess if I'm thinking about an audience, I'm thinking about people that I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about like my friends in Nashville.
Yeah,
and that's who I'm really talking to.
That's one of the things I actually really love about your podcast is. You know, we're called to be in the world, but not of it. Mm-hmm. We're called to be salt and light.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting there with your collar on,
right?
Yep.
But you're talking straight, like you're talking to your neighbor who may or may not go to church, and you're just being Thomas.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're talking about an experience that's open to the entire culture.
Right.
So anyway, very entertaining and very helpful and useful.
Yeah,
we're going to have to get specific here, aren't we? We got to ask this guy about some movies now that we got him here in the chair.
Well, I'm curious about two things before we go to recent movies. First, obviously you can't watch all the movies, so is there a standard of, you know what, I'm not going to watch these movies, or I'm for sure have to watch this movie? How do you? Is it just what you want?
It is just what I want. Because no one pays me to do this. And so I'm like, I sometimes have that, like, I better watch this because people will like it. Then I say, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that because I don't care. Really, I watch the trailers and I go, okay, I don't want to see a movie that sucks, right? I don't want to. I'm going to. I mean, it's going to happen, but I don't want to. And so I'm going to try to avoid those movies. So, for instance, I'm not going to see anything with Nicolas Cage if I can help it. You know what I mean? because at this point the dude's just getting a paycheck. So and he needs it bad apparently. So that's a joke. He's made, you know, he's obviously made some good movies in the past, but not this most recent one. So I that's what I look for. I don't like romantic comedies. And some of the ladies
Hugh Grant's out altogether.
Pretty much, yeah. No, yeah, I'll watch a romantic comedy if I have to. But, like, generally speaking, I go see whatever thing is... I do try to see what I think people are going to see. You know, if I go, okay, people are going to see this, so I need to see it. So, if like, when the next Transformers movie comes out, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to suck. But I will go see it because people will be... I mean, enough people will be interested in it where I'm going to have to feel like I'm
going to see it. So, top three movies...
Of ever?
Of all time?
Of all time.
By the way, Godfather.
You're talking to a man who watches videos. How long has it been since you darkened the door of a theater, Aaron?
I almost went yesterday. Does that count?
No, it does not count.
Almost. What'd you almost see yesterday, Aaron?
I almost saw The Fighter.
Oh, you should have definitely gone to see The Fighter.
Yeah, ended up on a counseling call that lasted an hour longer than it was supposed to. I missed the beginning. Okay. But I was in the doorway, so I did darken the doorway.
Wow. Okay.
So it was really close. No, I saw the Narnia movie with my kids. Mm. It cost $58
saw in 3D.
With the glasses.
Yeah, I know.
And it was as disappointing as every other Narnia movie, but it was all that was playing that I could take my kids to on New Year's Day. So,
sure.
Look at that. I saw a movie.
Okay. And he saw it in 3D.
So first of all, we're asking him the best movies of all time, but then we're going to kind of go last 12 months. Can we do that?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you want to ask me the best movies of all time. Let me make a comment because I want to. There's like literally one thing I wanted to say when I walked in.
Okay.
The door,
yes.
And I just
please
want to say it. And I just want to say it. Some people are like, why is it that you like go see these movies and why do you do this? And I mean, it is a little, it's kind of a funny thing when Christians engage with culture, it's kind of a funny thing. And I had a guy recently say, hey, you know, I really, he was saying, hey, I hear you do this video podcast. It's really great to get, like, have a Christian, like a Christian movie review, you know, review. Mm-hmm. And my response to that was like, look, I'm not interested in a Christian movie review. I think that Christian is a really good noun and a really good a really bad adjective. And so I'm not interested in, like, what's the Christian review of this film? This is like, what I'm trying to do is, like, this is, I'm a Christian, and here's my review of the film. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that gets brought up, sometimes it doesn't. For me, like, great films, really great films, illustrate the gospel. And that doesn't mean that they preach the gospel. That means that they illustrate the gospel. And so mm-hmm. some of my favorite films of, like, the last 12 months, or the favorite films of 10 years or mm-hmm. however longer, are films that illustrate the gospel, not because they preach it.
Yes.
You know, they don't
yes.
have Kirk Cameron in it necessarily. But that they...
Although Left Behind is on your top three, oh, correct, Pastor?
Yes. No, absolutely not. So, for many, many reasons. Because, yeah, because that's an entirely other conversation, isn't it, about the apocalypse. Anyway, so... Yeah, so I like to see the gospel illustrated, which is why my favorite film of this last year was True Grit.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I really, one of the reasons I really like True Grit, I loved the Shakespearean language, and I loved the cinematography is amazing, and the acting, especially from Hailee Steinfeld, who's this new girl, who's 14 years old, 13 when she made the film, was tremendous. But the thing about the film is that it illustrates the gospel incredibly well, because it illustrates that you could have vengeance and retribution, but it's going to cost you something. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that we see a lot of in film. We see vengeance taken, and it's just like happy, happy, clappy, clappy. Like, mm-hmm. I've killed the bad guy, everything's great. But in this case, like, retribution costs you.
Mm.
And the ending is spectacular, and I won't tell you why. I won't tell you what it is, but I will say that if you watch the film, think about what it cost her to find retribution.
Mm.
And about grace, because there is an incredibly Christ-like moment in this film from this nihilistic author and these two Jewish directors, you know, make this film with this Christ-like moment towards the end. And the reason they do is because in the West, all good Western storytelling comes from the Bible. Because all good Western stories ultimately find their place in the narrative of Scripture. And so we can't get away from Jesus when we make a film, even when we have a nihilistic script mm-hmm. from two Jewish directors. I mean, we just can't escape if we're going to make a decent film. And a lot of times people see a film and they go, oh, that film, there's something about that I just didn't like. I'm like, yes, they didn't. There was no gospel. And generally speaking, when there's no gospel in a film, it's because the film has strayed from our understanding of storytelling. So yeah.
Now it seems like some of the movies that have the deepest gospel discussion are by the types of directors you're talking about, whether mm-hmm. it's the Coen brothers or P.T. Anderson, whether it's a No Country for Old Men kind of yes. movie, those types of things. Why do you think... Oh, see, I want to answer this question, but I'll give
you
it to you.
You want to answer it?
Yeah, because it's awesome. Why is it that it seems like the least Christian directors are the one telling the most gospel stories?
Well, I would disagree with you that the gospel films come from kind of non-gospel people. And my example of that would be Pixar, which makes some splendid gospel films. And part of the reason it comes from the fact that some of the writers, producers, and directors over there are Christians. And talk about that openly and know the gospel themselves. And so we get, you know, you get Toy Story and Finding Nemo and this sort of thing from people who, in part, from people who know the Lord or who know the gospel. And so, but I do hear what you're saying, and I think that, like I said, Christian makes a really poor adjective, and unfortunately, there's some pretty terrible films that get made in the name of Jesus, from people who. I guess they're just trying to declare their faith. I mean, there's a line between art and propaganda, and Christians sometimes fall on the side of propaganda, using artistic medium in order to proclaim a message. Generally speaking, ends up with propaganda. And so when someone is trying to make a piece of art, and they're not trying to proclaim a particular message, generally speaking, they're going to make better art. But there's going to be a message in there. There has to be, because if there's not a truth being conveyed, there is no art, in my opinion. And so this is how incredibly well opinionated I am, that I would say something like that. But okay, so you have to convey truth in order for there to be art. And so they're trying to convey truth. And so with the Coen brothers, you have the source texts, the source here of of True Grit comes from this guy who's a nihilist, as far as we know. The novel is nihilistic, but what happens is based in either illustrating the gospel or it's showing how someone lives out the person of Jesus. The counterexample is the Coen brothers' last film, A Serious Man, which is showing the book of Job, but without the last couple of chapters in it. So it's a fully God is, if there's a God, he is vengeful and crazy, kind of piece. And so it's not, and you know what, that movie doesn't work, in my opinion. It doesn't work, and it doesn't work partially because there's no ending.
All right, so can we go with top three gospel, stirred your heart to the gospel movies of the last decade?
Oh, wow. Gosh, I was not prepared for that question.
While you're thinking, I will tell you that I just got back from a week in Texas with 50 guys. Mm-hmm. And I think about 20 of them had seen True Grit. Mm-hmm. And they would not shut up about it. Oh, I mean, yeah. It came up at every conversation.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It
was awesome. That's awesome.
So, I'm married to a woman who dearly loves romantic comedies. I'm going to have to see if I can talk her into True Grit, or just go with a few guys.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good idea.
That's a great film.
And is that embarrassing that she always asks you to dress up as Hugh Grant on Halloween?
That was for you, Nate.
I've always wanted to know how that felt. I don't know.
Yeah. Are you insecure about that, Nate? That's not good at all. Boy, that's a really great question. There's some of these movies are kind of inappropriate. You know what I mean? There was a movie that, I can't recommend this film. There's a movie called Black Snake Moan, mm-hmm. which I cannot recommend because it's sexually vulgar and this sort of thing. But there was something in that movie about redemption. There was a redemption element to that film that really struck me when I saw it, and somehow I was able to sort of see it and go, okay, yes, there's a lot of them there that was not appropriate and not cool, and at the same time, it really moved me when I saw it. And I haven't seen it since I saw it in the theater. And part of the problem is sometimes if I see a film once, I need to go back and see it again, more clear eyed. I loved Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
But part of the reason I probably loved Iron Man 2 is because we'd had this big flood here in Nashville, and I had been helping with flood recovery efforts all week, and I was exhausted, and I just needed to get outside of myself for 2 hours. And so Iron Man 2 to me was the greatest film ever made, because I was just oh, thank you, Lord, for Iron Man. This is so great. And then, later as I'm thinking about it, I'm going, it probably wasn't that great a film, but at the time I really needed it. But, if you're looking for, gospel films, Finding Nemo is just, gorgeous gospel, and here it comes out of Pixar. And The Lion King, Disney's The Lion King, which I guess is older than 10 years now, is great gospel. But you know what? So, so is True Grit. And then things that illustrate the gospel, like Inglourious Basterds, or like No Country for Old Men, or like There Will Be Blood. These things illustrate the gospel.
Because now, I'm thinking there's some people that are, not nearly as clever as you that are listening and saying, Inglourious Basterds,
right.
Gospel, how in the world do you see the gospel? Can you give somebody kind of a template by which, and I don't know if this is possible, but a template by which to understand what you're saying, that you can watch Inglourious Basterds and walk away going, yeah. The gospel.
No, I'm saying it illustrates the gospel. And in fact,
right.
And I think that that's when I say something that illustrates the gospel, I mean something that shows, like, for instance, it shows where you are without Christ. When something shows me where I am without Christ, that illustrates the gospel to me. When something shows the law, and I go, okay, there's the law that I can't live up to. Or in something, like, for instance, in Glorious Bastards, why I loved it was because it sits there and goes, okay, we're going to use violence to redeem. You know? We're going to use violence as our redemptive force.
Yeah.
And so here's a bunch of violence that we're going to try to use, you know, to defeat evil. And then there's that wonderful moment where you have been watching and enjoying violence. You've been watching and enjoying the Nazis get, you know, beat up in gross ways. And you love that because, maybe you don't, maybe I do. I love that because I hate Nazis. There's, you know, like, Nazis bad, Nazis evil. Therefore, it's okay when the bear comes out and beats this guy with a bat. Like, oh, that's wonderful. Well, I'm so excited about that. And then I get to watch Hitler watch the same thing happen, and I get to see the joy on Hitler's face as he sees the quote-unquote redemptive violence. And I sit there and go, oh, wait a minute. I'm like that. I want to see someone get their butts kicked because I enjoy it. So now I'm like Hitler, you know? And what it does is it holds up a mirror to me and says, look at how you think. Look at the way you want redemption to happen. You want redemption to happen by war. You want redemption to happen by violence. You want redemption to happen by violence that is outside of yourself, so it doesn't actually happen to you. You don't have to participate in it. You don't have to pay for it, either with your money or with your blood or with your children's blood. But you like to see that sort of thing happen. And then I go, oh my gosh, I'm really in need of a savior. You know, it, like, struck me in the face. I walked away going, wow, I was just identified with Hitler.
Mm.
And I found that incredibly disturbing. And I think that was what Tarantino was doing. Like, he was trying to show me that I identify with Hitler. And my society identifies with them in this terrible way. And that drives me to the gospel. Now, for some other people, they probably enjoyed that. You know, other people are going to sit there and go, oh, that was a wonderful thing. I really enjoyed the violence, and yay, yeehaw, we killed Hitler, yay. And that's not how I felt. And I think that what happens is, when people walk into films, it's like in any kind of communication, it's not just what the filmmaker is saying, it's what I take into the room. And so I've taken into the room my prejudice. And my prejudice is towards the gospel. I have a gospel prejudice, okay, that I recognize. And so I walk in the room, and I see these things happen, and for me, it drives me to the Lord. You know, now someone else, it may not. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think that it's like, that's why I have a hard time even recommending films. Usually when I do my podcast, instead of recommending a film, and I do occasionally recommend, well, usually what I'll do is I'll say, this is what was good, this is what was bad, whatever that means to you. You know, make your decision.
Well, Thomas, this sure has been a fascinating, stimulating conversation. I can't thank you enough for making the drive down. Remind us again, how are our listeners going to find your priceless one-minute review?
My priceless one-minute review. Well, you can go to oneminutereview.com or search one-minute review on the iTunes Store.
Okay.
Or you can always see it at rabbitroom.com.
Okay, or at rabbitroom.com. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to look at Thomas, there are audio versions of the
yes.
available.
Yes, through mm-hmm. the iTunes Store, you can just subscribe to the audio version.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So
we do only audio. Pardon?
I was summarizing for our listeners.
Okay.
Polygamy bad, Inglourious Bastards good, Pixar hit and miss, but mostly hit.
Right.
And the Anglican Church super cool.
That's it.
Mm.
Is that?
No, Inglourious Bastards, useful by God to drive you to Jesus, or also can really mess up your head depending on where you're coming from.
There you go.
Thanks for that clarification. Yeah. Thanks for being with us. We'll be right back on the Pirate Monk podcast. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to save somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage.
serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Welcome back to episode 50 of the Pirate Monk Podcast. That was a very interesting conversation with Thomas McKenzie, the movie reviewer, the Christian movie reviewer who does not always give Christian movie reviews. That didn't sound right at all, did it? Well, just rewind and listen to his explanation for that. But I think that's a great thing when Christians start to view even their entertainment through the lens of the gospel. So we've got some important announcements before we sign off. Nate, we've got some 48 hours of Frankness coming up.
We sure do. Coming up this next week, of course, is the one in Palatka, which I think is full. But the 48 hours tour, the big grand tour, begins in Atlanta the weekend of March 25-26, followed by Austin and San Antonio, Texas, April 8th and 9th, and the very next weekend, Orlando, Florida, April 15th and 16th. If you have not yet been to a 48 Hours of Frankness, please do yourself a favor, do your group a favor. Make sure that somebody from your group gets to a 48 Hours. Be great if you could send a couple of guys or a team of guys to walk all the way down the path in an accelerated weekend. They'll do the whole 7 stages of the path in 48 hours. It's an intensive but valuable weekend.
Guys, I highly suggesting take at least one person, have at least a pair of guys go, because it is one of the most painful things to go have a deep experience that fits with your group, you come back and nobody knows what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes at least 2 people to be able to start to bring some of that into the group. So if you have to go alone, go alone. But really try to take a partner, and if you can take a group with you, that is even better. So that is what we've got for this week's episode. We will be back next week with author Jay Asher. It is going to be a great chat on a really important topic. So tune in next time. And from the West Coast to the Middle Coast, we are saying good night and God bless.
So long, guys.
Take your day by day. Shame and living for real.